Every economic system promises something. Capitalism promised prosperity, efficiency, and freedom. For a while, it delivered. Smartphones in every pocket, global supply chains, unprecedented technological leaps. Yet beneath this glittering surface lies a troubling paradox. We've created abundance that somehow produces scarcity, wealth that generates poverty, and freedom that feels increasingly like constraint. The question isn't whether capitalism works. It clearly does, for some. The question is whether we can imagine something better, and more importantly, whether we can build it without waiting for revolution or collapse. This isn't about nostalgia for Soviet planning or romantic fantasies of communes. It's about recognizing that capitalism isn't just the market. It's a specific power structure where capital owners command both firms and entire economies. Markets existed before capitalism and will exist after it. What defines capitalism is who holds power. Those who own capital make decisions that ripple through millions of lives, while workers, communities, and even elected governments scramble to accommodate their preferences. When a factory closes, devastating a town, that's not a market decision. It's a power decision made by people who'll never see the shuttered storefronts or empty playgrounds left behind. Three values form the foundation of any humane society: equality, democracy, and community. Capitalism systematically undermines all three through its basic operating logic. In a just world, everyone would have broadly equal access to what they need for flourishing: adequate food and shelter, meaningful work, education, healthcare, autonomy, and social respect. Capitalism generates the opposite: massive inequality that's structural, not accidental. The fundamental divide between capital owners and workers creates power imbalances, where workers need jobs more desperately than employers need any particular worker. Market competition naturally amplifies initial advantages. Wealth begets wealth, while poverty compounds itself. Economic crises devastate those at the bottom, while the wealthy insure themselves against risk. The result isn't just income inequality, but inequality in access to flourishing itself. Millions face economic precarity, hunger, and poverty-related health problems, even in wealthy nations. Advantages flow to those born into wealth, systematically denying equal opportunity despite capitalism's meritocratic mythology. This isn't a bug, it's how the system works. Capitalism enabled political freedom, yet creates severe democratic deficits. Private ownership excludes crucial decisions from democratic control. When corporations relocate factories and devastate communities, they face no accountability. Capital flight threats force politicians to prioritize business climate over citizen welfare. Wealth translates directly into political power through campaign contributions, lobbying, and elite networks ordinary citizens cannot access. Capitalist workplaces function as dictatorships. Spend 8 hours where someone commands your movements, monitors bathroom breaks, and controls your livelihood. Then try feeling like a free citizen. Economic inequality undermines real freedom, not just legal rights, but actual capacity to say no, pursue your plans, take risks. One paycheck from homelessness, your formal freedoms mean little. Democracy requires meaningful input into decisions affecting our lives. Yet capitalism concentrates economic power, making genuine democracy nearly impossible. We vote occasionally for representatives with limited economic power, while unelected executives make daily decisions shaping our communities and futures. This isn't democracy, it's plutocracy with democratic window dressing. Capitalism corrodes meaningful bonds by fostering motivations of greed and fear. As philosopher G.A. Cohen observed, under capitalism, we view others either as possible sources of enrichment or threats to our success, profoundly destructive ways of relating to fellow humans. These aren't individual character flaws, but systematic effects of competitive markets. Even generous CEOs make profit-maximizing decisions that harm communities because market competition demands it. Capitalist culture promotes competitive individualism, measuring self-worth through comparison, and privatized consumerism, where life satisfaction depends on increasing personal consumption while public goods are devalued. Community and solidarity provide security, meaning, and purpose while supporting the egalitarian redistribution and political deliberation that democracy requires. Yet capitalism's logic systematically undermines these bonds, leaving us isolated consumers rather than connected citizens. If capitalism is destructive, what's the alternative? History warns against revolutionary rupture, which delivered authoritarianism, state socialism, which stalled, and social democracy, which neoliberalism reversed. No economy has ever been purely capitalist. Real systems combine capitalism with state provision, family relations, community networks, cooperatives, nonprofits, and peer-to-peer networks. The strategy isn't dramatic rupture, but gradual erosion, expanding these alternatives until they transform the entire ecosystem. Consider introducing a new species into a lake. Initially, it occupies small niches. With protection, nutrients, and space, it can eventually displace dominant species and reshape the ecosystem. Similarly, emancipatory economic forms can grow within capitalism's interstices, protected through deliberate strategy, until they potentially transform the system itself. This combines top-down state action, changing rules to protect alternatives, with bottom-up community initiatives. It's both pragmatic, we can build alternatives now, and ambitious, these alternatives might eventually displace capitalism. The question isn't whether it's possible, but whether we have the collective will to try. Democratic socialism isn't Soviet-style planning, but a diverse ecosystem of democratic institutions. Unconditional basic income would provide resources to live above poverty without work requirements, enabling people to refuse exploitative jobs and pursue worker cooperatives, artistic work, or caregiving. Cooperatives already matter. Over a third of Europeans and North Americans belong to one. These internally democratic organizations, being geographically rooted, are more easily regulated than mobile capital. The social and solidarity economy encompasses nonprofits, mutual societies, and community-anchored social enterprises with egalitarian values. State provision would expand dramatically through decentralized production involving local communities and state social economy partnerships. Healthcare, childcare, education, infrastructure, and utilities would likely be state-provided, potentially encompassing over half of economic activity. Peer-to-peer collaborative production could enable small-scale cooperative producers to manufacture on demand using 3D printers and automated tools. Intellectual property rights would be radically transformed. Scientific and technical knowledge would become commons rather than private property, ending pharmaceutical companies' restriction of life-saving drugs for profit. Innovation would be incentivized through public funding and recognition rather than monopoly rents. The greatest challenge isn't designing alternatives, it's building collective power to implement them through organizations and coalitions that overcome free riding and build trust through sustained action. This requires integrating values, identities, and interests into coherent movements. Values motivate action beyond self-interest. Identity creates solidarity that facilitates collective action. Interests ground movements in material reality. All three are necessary. Class remains important but insufficient, as working class experiences vary enormously. Effective anti-capitalist politics must integrate identity-based movements within broader emancipatory projects, emphasizing democracy as a unifying objective, connecting workplace struggles, racial justice, feminism, and environmental movements. The path forward combines state action and grassroots alternatives. State power without social movements becomes bureaucratic and elite captured. Grassroots alternatives without state support remain marginal. Together, they can erode capitalism's dominance gradually. Capitalism's contradictions grow increasingly apparent. Ecological catastrophe, technological unemployment, obscene inequality, democratic decay. These crises demand responses. The question is whether those responses will be authoritarian or emancipatory. The answer depends on building movements capable of fighting for democratic alternatives. Another world is already emerging in cooperatives, mutual aid networks, and solidarity economies worldwide. Our task is nurturing these seeds until they transform the landscape itself.